This is a voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out on a regular basis. The messages by the late Pastor Shelton we air on this broadcast every week at this same time. And many, many folks all over this nation are writing us, calling us, saying, we don't hear these old-time, old-fashioned blood messages anymore, Pastor. What's the matter? Well, we've gone modern. Our whole world has gone modern, and the churches are right along with it, and we have so much error in the land now. And we ask you to pray for us and pray with us and help us with, if you want to get the gospel out. We know it's the closing days of this age that we're in. The Lord's coming soon. But if you'd like to help us, do that. Send us a generous offering and pray for us. Tell us you're praying for us. And the message you hear today is blood on the mercy seat. And we'll give you more information about how you can receive this message, these messages, all of them, in booklet form or on CD at the close of the message.
You know, the average preacher and religious leader of today, let me repeat again, is so spiritually blinded and he cannot see. That is the only way a sinner can come into the presence of God. That's all. I heard a preacher the other day said, come on to God. Come on, sinner, to God. Well, how are you going to come? Come by the mercy seat. You'll come by the mercy seat or go to hell. With your Bibles in hand, let's turn to Exodus 25:17 and read. Exodus 25:17. All right, here's God's instruction to Moses. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the 1 end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubs be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee. Get it now. Listen now. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. All right, now you say, Brother Shelton, that statement, and there I will meet with thee and will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. Isn't that contradictory to the statement you have just made, that God meets the sinner in repentance? No. That sinner, get it now, that sinner, before he comes behind the veil in the presence of God, has come to the brazen altar, get it now, with a sin offering, and there has acknowledged himself as the sinner. And then the blood is applied to him on the mercy seat. Then there God will meet him at the mercy seat. But God does not meet that sinner that does not come by the way of the altar. And God does not meet the sinner until he comes by the way of the cross. And you cannot come by the way of the cross except in repentance. The mercy seat was the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was an oblong box overlaid with gold, which contained the law and the 10 commandments, which God gave Moses written upon 2 tables of stone. The Ark of the Covenant containing the law was placed in the Holy of Holies, that is, the most holy place in the tabernacle. The lid that covered this box, known as the Ark of the Covenant, which contained 2 tables of law, was known as the mercy seat. This mercy seat was made out of pure gold, beaten gold, and from each end of this mercy seat was beaten and fashioned the figure of a cherub or angel, and gold represents deity. These 2 angels overshadowed the mercy seat with their wings. This lid of gold, known as the mercy seat, fitted with absolute exactness upon the top of the Ark of the Covenant and covered the law. Now you get that. Over this mercy seat, between the cherubims, the Shekinah light shone forth. This Shekinah light was the only light in the Holy of Holies. It was divine light. It was the presence of God. It was here God met with and communed with the representatives of Israel, because he said, I will meet with thee and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. But they came by the way of the burnt altar. You get that? As we said, the ark and the mercy seat were behind the veil in the most holy place. The mercy seat as well as the ark could not be seen but once a year, and that was on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest offered a sacrifice at the brazen altar, caught the blood, and standing before the mercy seat, sprinkled the blood thereon, and then hastened out. He dared not go behind that veil and approach the mercy seat, where the presence of God was manifested, without blood in the basin. Let me tell you, my friend, you'd better not try to come in the presence of God without blood in the basin. You, in the first place, you can't. God will not admit you. God admits no sinner into his presence without the blood. And you said, you may say, well, I'd go there. You don't. You go in the presence of Satan, an imitation presence. That's all you've got. If you've never been broken as a lost sinner, if you've never come to the place as a lost sinner, you've never come to the brazen altar and admitted that you are a lost sinner, you do not go in the presence of God without the shed blood. That's the only way a sinner can come. I want to tell you, my friend, for God to admit you would mean instant death. For a sinner to come in the presence of God without shed blood would mean instant death, Psalm 68:2. For any sinner to come in the presence of God would mean instant death. Let me repeat it. Let me emphasize that thing. Therefore, God will allow no sinner to approach him except at the mercy seat where the blood shed blood is. You cannot come in the presence of God without blood in the basin. I can't emphasize that too much. Now, may I emphasize that over and over. I do not care who you are. I do not care how many titles you have after your name, and you may have a mile of them. I do not care what seat of learning you sit in or what position you occupy. I don't care whether you're a millionaire or a pauper. You take this from the old trailblazer, the old parson that's ridiculed and made fun of and laughed at by present-day unsaved religionists, and from God's eternal word. Listen, no sinner has ever will come in the presence of God except by the shedding of blood. You cannot do it. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Now, you drive a peg down, hold it, my friend, and you get that. The mercy seat. Well, you said, preacher, don't you know the vast majority of the religious world is against you on that point? Well, if it is, then I'm against the vast majority of the religious world, because God's word is true, whether you believe it or whether any man believes it. You put that down and hold it. I don't care who you are. The God's word's true. The mercy seat is a distinct symbol of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 3:25, we find these words, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. The word propitiation here means the mercy seat. So we could read, whom God has set forth to be a mercy seat through faith in his blood. This mercy seat in the tabernacle, let me say again, was a symbol of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true mercy seat and can be approached by faith in his blood, not by his perfect life, no. Listen to Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the way of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated, are open for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh or his death. And may I emphasize this great truth again, my radio friend, listen. No sinner has ever, does not now, and never will enter into the presence of the Lord God of heaven except by the shed blood of the Son of God. You'll never get to heaven except through the atoning blood. Now, if you hate the blood of Christ, if you rebel against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forever shut out from the presence of God. You say, I don't like that. Well, then, you just have to go to hell for your trouble. That's all I can say to you. I don't care who you are. Well, I don't like for you to talk like that. Well, my friends, why not be plain to you? Why not be honest with your soul? Why not tell you frankly A friend of mine went in to see a doctor the other day. Doctor diagnosed his case. And he said, well, doctor, I don't believe that. He said, well, then you'll have to die. That's the diagnosis of your case. Well, he said, I don't like you to be so plain with me. About, he said, well, what'd you come to me for then? He said, now, in every doctor, when you go in, they diagnose your case, and they write out a prescription, they mean for you to take it. A patient went back to a doctor, and the doctor said, you take my prescription? As I directed, said, no, what'd you come to me for then? Now, brother, if that's true in the physical realm, how much more true it should be in the spiritual realm? Who asked you to like it? My friend, I didn't like blood redemption when I first heard it, but thank God he broke my heart and brought me to the precious seat as a repenting sinner. God has prepared a way, and if you and I don't like it, that's up to you. Someone said the other morning when asked to get up early and listen to me, he said, do you think I'm going to get up just to sit down here and listen to Sheldon tell me I'm going to hell? Well, brother, sister, you'd better sit there and let me tell you that you're going to hell, because when you wake up in hell, you wish to God you had listened to somebody who warned you. There are very few warning messages today over the air and from the pulpit, and you'd better sit and let me warn you. My friend, where do you stand in the presence of God? Where do you stand? Do you know Christ? Now, you can rebel. That's up to you. But you sit there and let me warn you at this time, will you? Because there are very few warning voices, warning sinners of their approach to hell. If I could take hold of you and shake you and say, wake up, bud. Wake up, brother. Wake up, sister. You're on the road to hell. You do not know Christ. You do not know him. Let me call your attention first to this great fact. The mercy seat was placed upon the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat, which is a symbol of our Lord Jesus Christ, rested upon the Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of the throne of God. As the mercy seat could be seen only after the sacrifice had been offered on the Day of Atonement, so we have a picture of our blessed Lord after he had offered himself on the cross as a sacrifice for sin and had risen from the dead and ascended to heaven and sat down on the throne of God at his right hand. You see, the high priest could not go behind that veil except after the sacrifice had been offered. And the Lord Jesus Christ went behind the veil in the heavenly tabernacle with his blood and with himself and sat down on the throne of God after he had offered himself as our sacrifice. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then he appears in heaven for us to represent us at the throne of God that's been turned from a judgment seat into a throne of grace. What a picture of a risen, ascended, deathless, immortal man on the throne of God. My dear believer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross as our substitute, who was buried and rose again the third day, and in that resurrected body ascended back to heaven, is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. Did you ever stop to think what that means for us as his children? Listen, 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 will you? It means that you and I have a representative, the man Christ Jesus, in his resurrected body, seated at God's right hand. He is there as our high priest, our sin offering, our head, and our righteousness. He sits in the place of power and honor and glory. Praise to his holy name. In connection with this, let me call your attention to another great truth. At each end of this mercy seat was a cherub, the figure of an angel, which formed an essential part of the mercy seat. You could not separate these cherubims from the mercy seat. To do so would ruin and destroy the mercy seat. The cherubim symbolized all power. You know, after the resurrection of our Lord, he stood there and said to his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Yes, he claimed all power. And when he sat down at the right hand of God, the scripture says, the Lord exalted him above every name, above every principality, above every power, and gave him all authority and all power. So all power means omnipotence. Therefore, we have an omnipotent man, the man Christ Jesus, on the throne of God in heaven as our representative. He is God, a very God, the God-man. There is one God, the Father. There is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, as our mediator. What more do we want? No wonder the Apostle Paul said, If God be for us in substitution, who can be against us? That is the reason I can move unafraid of man, unafraid any power of darkness, because my Lord, who is my mercy seat, is on the throne of God and has all power. I can trust him, and it is my one desire as his child, redeemed by his blood, to be his bond slave. When we think of the problems that confront us, the thousand ills that we have to contend with here in this world, as we face the conditions of life, with the powers of darkness hurled against us, misunderstood as a pilgrim, barked at by the dogs of hell, as strangers, with the wolves of hell being us. It is grace upon grace to know that we have the man, Christ Jesus, an immortal man, an omnipotent, eternal representative, with all power, seated on the throne of God. Praise God, you can cry, hallelujah, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Thank God that we have a representative, a mediator at the right hand of God like that. The only thing I can do is to commit myself to him and rest everything in his hands. He is all wise. He is all powerful. He is all loving. He is all merciful. Therefore, I need not fear what man can do unto me, for he is my living high priest. David said in Psalms 57:1, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Why could David say that? It was because Christ was on the throne, the omnipotent man who is their God, and he was seated on the throne for us. He knows each one of us by name and all the circumstances of our lives and bids us rest with peace in his love. Therefore, we can sit at his feet in quietness, knowing that he will not rest until he works everything out for our good. Then David said again, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Believer, isn't it marvelous to know him? Isn't it grace upon grace to know that we have such a Savior, such a Redeemer at the right hand of God, who liveth to make intercession for us, who is concerned with all of our problems and trials and heartaches and joys and sorrows and needs. He is our... You know how I come? I come empty-handed. I come there confessing my sins, confessing my weakness, confessing my needs. I go away filled. I go away with every need supplied, no matter what nature the need is. That is what Christ crucified, buried, risen, and exalted the right hand of God means to me, a poor old sinner saved by the grace of God. Does he mean that to you? That's what the mercy seat means to me. There isn't a moment that I don't come there. I wish in connection with this thought, you'd read Romans 8:31-34. In Leviticus 17:11, we find these words, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. In Exodus 25:22, let's read again, there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. My sinner friend, may I turn this message towards you now. And by the Spirit of the living God, could I lead you to the mercy seat? Let me sit down by your side and talk with you about your soul's condition. Oh, may God open your eyes. Let me open this conversation with you in the form of a question, may I? Have you ever felt your need of salvation? Have you ever bowed your head and said to yourself, I wish I could be saved. I wish I knew that Christ. Then, my friend, have you ever sought salvation in Christ as one who must obtain it or perish and go to hell? Have you laid aside everything and said, I must be saved? I've got to know Christ. Nothing else matters. Then if so, let me talk to you for a little while. You know, when once you feel your burden of sin and the wrath of God abiding upon your soul and find that you have spent your whole past life without God, then, sinner, now listen to this, you will begin to cry, what must I do to be saved? And let me tell you something, the cry of an awakened sinner, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, finds God in the very attitude of grace, and then you are ready to be pointed to the mercy seat where you can find mercy. Let me say again, the mercy seat was the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. It was sprinkled with blood 7 times, which typified the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The sinner deserves to die. But it is where the blood is that mercy for sinners is to be found. The only place, my awakened sinner, where you can find mercy is at the mercy seat. That mercy seat is Christ. Did you ever stop to think, my awakened sinner, that your case is a desperate one, that you're under the wrath of God, that you are condemned to die, and die you will if mercy is not found? Your deserved doom must be carried out, and if you are to escape, your punishment must be exacted at the hands of another. I wish I could whisper in your ear at this moment, and oh, that it would find lodgment in your very soul. Listen, sinner, Christ took your place and died in your stead. The place where you will find mercy is the place where the blood is. No other place can you find mercy but at the mercy seat, which is Christ. And you may come. You're invited to come. And you must come if you'd escape the wrath of God. Christ said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Christ said again, "You will not come to me that you might have life." Will you come? You may say to me, Brother Sheldon, you say I must come or die. Then how can I come? Every individual who is saved must come to the mercy seat as a lost sinner. So you come as a sinner. You must come with nothing but sin, as you can lay nothing but sin on the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. You are a sinner. Come as a sinner. God bids every sinner to come to the Lord. Come, for all things are ready. And in your coming, you can bring nothing whatsoever but sin. You get that? So in your coming to the mercy seat, sinner, bring nothing but sin. Come confessing that you are shapen in iniquity, that you are a sinner by nature, and lay it all upon the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Come confessing your inherent corruption, that you are nothing but a corrupt sinner. Bring all your personal sins, whatever they may be, and lay them down on the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Come with all your vileness, your uncleanness, your unbelief, your rebellion, your pride, and lay it all upon the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. As we sit here together, and the Lord is searching your heart and revealing your wickedness and hardness of heart and your blindness, come and lay it all upon the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Then bring all your unbelief. You have despised and slighted and undervalued the grace of God caused by the deceitfulness of sin, and lay all of that on the mercy seat. Sinner, come, declare your heart's utter sinfulness, your lack of faith. Then come laying down your very soul, your very self. And when you've done all of that, you'll find that you've brought nothing but sin. Sin! Sin! My sinner praying, you can lay no holiness on the blood. You have nothing else to lay on the blood-sprinkled mercy seat but sin. And it is there that God would cleanse you from all your sins. I wish you could come. I wish you would come. Your case is desperate, my sinner friend. Yes, come holy as a sinner. Now let's look at the state in which the sinner comes to the mercy seat for pardon. Now, sinner, don't stop and argue. No, don't do that. They that are sick need a physician. You are sick. You need a physician. You know any individual who feels he must bring something to the mercy seat besides his sin has never been brought to feel the utter sinfulness and total depravity of his nature. You never have. My friend, God's satisfied with the mercy seat. Are you? God's satisfied with Christ. Sinner, that's enough. When he said, "I'm satisfied," then I'm satisfied too. Are you? God and the sinner become satisfied with the death and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner, your hope rests in the blood. Christ is the sinner's surety because he's rendered perfect obedience and paid for the broken law with his own blood. Sinner, behold the blood. Here is peace for the guilty, rest for the weary. Here God is waiting to be gracious, waiting to meet you, sinner. Won't you come? Won't you come? Come, sinner. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home now. Listen, nevermore alone, open wide
thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Sinner, come on home. My soul is sick. My heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew. My hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. My only hope, my only plea. Now I'm coming home. That Jesus died and died for me. Lord, I'm coming home.
Sinner, will you come? Come to Christ now. The mercy seat where the blood is. Come repenting. Lie at the dying feet of Christ in the dust of repentance.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast. The message you just heard was blood on the mercy seat. Oh, my friend, what a day we're living in. You just don't hear these old-time, old-fashioned gospel messages hardly anymore on the radio or maybe on the TV. No, we have much modernisms crept in our pulpit. We have these, I call them 90-day wonders, who are mama called or pastor called, and they think that preaching is a good profession, and maybe it is. But, my friend, please, please pray for the old trailblazer. Pastor Pendarvis here as we give out the gospel. It's all of grace. We don't know how to preach. We don't know how to do anything. But we bring you these messages by our late pastor. He was the founder and the pastor of this work for many, many years here in New Orleans. And the Lord blessed him. And now we're giving them out over the internet, over the radios, over whatever means that we can do by the printed page. And the Lord is blessing them. One here and one there is being saved. And the Bible says, go forth and preach the gospel into the ends of the earth. And we're doing that now with the internet, with all of those facilities that we have that I can't even go into at this time. But the Lord has provided those things for us. And remember, we're here each week at this time. We'll send you this message, Blood on the Mercy Seat, by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, Sr. And we'll send it to you in booklet form, free and postpaid. We have many, many titles by the pastor, and we'll send you a title list of all of them. You can pick and choose what you'd like to have in booklet form, free and postpaid. And then they're on CDs, and also we have the old Trailblazer broadcast. If you'd like, we'll send you information about that. But remember, the message you heard was Blood on the Mercy Seat, by the late Pastor Shelton. Our mailing address, Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my phone number, area code 225-664-8658. Goodbye.